Come.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Tuesday, January the 10th, 2017. We're going to be covering 2 Kings chapters 9, 10, and 11 today, hopefully. And we'll get started on that right away. I would like to remind everybody of my wake-up call show on Thursdays at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will have a weekly sermon and touch on current events and how Scripture applies to them. So I hope you'll join me there. Let's get into chapter 9 of 2 Kings. This is where Jehu is anointed the king. Verse 1, and you can reference verses 1 through 6 on 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16. Called Elisha the prophet, one of the sons of the prophet, and said to him, gird your loins and take this vial 6378 of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. Verse 2, and when you come there, look for Jehu 3058, the son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi, 5250, and go and make him rise up from among his brothers and go with him to an inner chamber. Now there are a number of men named Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament. So this one is designated as the son of Nimshi. So that tells you which Jehoshaphat that is. I got to laughing and lost it a little bit here. Verse 3, then take the vial of oil and pour it upon his head and say, thus says Yahweh, I have anointed you king over Israel. And then open the door and flee and delay not. Okay, that's pretty clear. Verse 4. So the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. Verse 5, and when came he, behold, the commanders of the army were sitting, and said he, I have a message to you, O commander. And said Jehu, unto which of all of us? And said he, to you, O commander. Verse 6, and you can reference 1 Kings 19, verse 16 on this. And rose he up and went into the house, and poured he the oil upon his head, and said to him, thus says Yahweh, Elohe Israel. That's Yahweh, the divine being of Israel. I have anointed you king over the people of Yahweh, over Israel. And you shall smite the house of Achab, your master. that I might avenge, 5:3-5:8, the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Yahweh at the hand of Isabel. Verse 8, the whole house of Achab shall perish, and I will cut off from Achab he that pisses against the wall, and he that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Achab like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Achiah. So he's going to slaughter all of them and leave none. And the pee against the wall thing means all male descendants. And verse 8, you can reference 1 Kings 21, verse 21, verse 10. And you can reference 1 Kings 21, 23. And the dog shall eat Isabel and the portion of Yisrael, and none will bury her. And he opened he the door and fled, delivered the message, and then took off. Short and sweet. Verse 11. Then came forth Jehu to the servants of his master, and one said to him, is it peace? Why came this madman, 7696, to you? And said he to them, know you the man and his talk? 7879. And 7879 is unclear here, so talk is the best rendering. We'll have to go with that. Verse 12. And said they, lies, 8267. Tell us now. And said he, thus and thus spoke he to me, saying, thus says Yahweh, I have anointed you king over Israel. Uh-oh. Verse 13. And hurried they, and took each man his garment, and put it under him on the top of the stairs, and blew shofars, saying, Jehu reigns as king. Now they put all their garments underneath him as a royal soft seat. They believed this. Verse 14. So Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Joram had guarded Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, from the presence of Kazael, king of Aram. And Joram in 14 and 15 are the same person. And it's Joram and Jehoram. They just spell it differently, but it's the same guy. Verse 15, but King Jehoram returned to be healed in Yisrael from the wounds with which the Aramee had smitten him, when fought he with Kazael, king of Aram, and said, Jehu, if it is your desire, 5:3-1:5, let none go forth to escape from the city to go tell it in Yisrael. Verse 16, then rode in a chariot, 7392, that's all one word, rode in a chariot, Jehu, and went to Yisrael, because lay there Joram. And Achaziah, king of Yehuda, had come forth to see Joram. Verse 17, and stood there a watchman upon the tower in Yisrael, and looked he at the company as they came, and said, I see a company. and said, Jehoram, take a horseman and send to meet them. And let him say, is there peace? Verse 18, so there went a rider on horseback to meet him and said, thus says the king, is there peace? And said Jehu, what have you to do with peace? Turn around behind me. And the watchman told, saying, the messenger came to them, but returns not. Verse 19. Then was sent a second rider on horseback, which came to them and said, thus said the king, is there peace? And said, Jehu, what have you to do with peace? Turn around to behind me. Verse 20. And told the watchman, saying, came he to them and returns not. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, son of Nimshi, because drives he madly. 7:6-9:7. Verse 21, and said Jehoram, make ready. And his chariot was harnessed, and Jehoram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Yehuda, went forth, each in his own chariot. And they went forth against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth the Yisraeli. Verse 22. And it came to be, when Jehoram saw Jehu, said he, is there peace, Jehu? And said he, what peace, so long as the fornications, 2183, of your mother Isabel and her sorcery, 3785, are so many. Now the fornication, 2183, is religious fornication with false gods. Verse 23, and turned Jehoram his hands and fled, and said to Ahaziah, treachery. 48:20, O Ahaziah. Verse 24, and drew Jehu a bow with full strength, and smote Jehoram between his arms. And the arrow went forth at his heart, and sunk he down in his chariot. He killed him on the spot. And that was the end of that. Verse 25, then said he to Bidkar, 920, his officer, 7991, take him away and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth, ye Yisraeli, because remember, when I and you rode together after Achab, his father, Yahweh laid this prophetic burden, 4853, upon him. Verse 26, have not I seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, says Yahweh? And I will require it of you in this plot of ground, uttered Yahweh. Because he had Naboth killed to steal his vineyard. Now therefore take him away and cast him into the plot of ground according to the word of Yahweh. Verse 27. When Ahaziah, king of Yehuda, saw, fled he by the way of the garden house, and pursued Jehu after him, and said, smite him also in the chariot at the ascent to Gur, 1483, which is by Yibleam, 2991, and fled he to Megiddo and died there. Evidently, they put an arrow in him and he made it to Megiddo and died. Verse 28, and carried him his servants in a chariot to Jerusalem, 3389, that's Jerusalem with a formal spelling, and buried him in the sepulcher with his ancestors in the city of Dawid. Verse 29, and in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Achab, had begun Ahaziah to reign over Yehuda. Now, verse 825 has the 12th year. So there's a discrepancy between these two verses. Let me get a hit of iced tea here. Okay, here's verse 30, and this tells of the assassination of Isabel. And when came Jehu to Israel, heard Isabel, and painted 6320 she upon her eyes, and made pleasing 3190 her head, and looked out 8259 at a window. Verse 31, and as entered Jehu at the gate, said she, had Zimri peace who slew his master? And you can reference 1 Kings 16, verses 8 through 18. Verse 32, and lifted he up his face toward the window and said, who is with me? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. Verse 33, and said he, throw her down. So they threw her down out of the window, and her blood was spurted 5137 on the wall and on the horses, and they trampled her. 7429. Verse 35. Or 34, pardon me. And came he in, and ate and drank, and said, go, attend, 6485, now to this cursed 779 woman, and bury her, because she is a king's daughter. Verse 35, they went to bury her, but found none of her except the skull, 1538, the feet, 7272, and the palms, 3709, of the hands. Verse 36, wherefore they returned and told him, and said he, this is the word of Yahweh, which spoke he by Eliyahu the Tishbi, saying, in the portion of Israel shall dogs eat the flesh of Isabel. Verse 37, and the carcass of Isabel shall be as dung upon the surface of the field in the portion of Israel, so that they shall not say, this is Isabel. And the word of Yahweh was fulfilled. So there was nothing much left of her. She didn't even get a grave. They just tossed the stuff out in the field that she helped to steal. And verse 36, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 23. This whole chapter, chapter 9, was prophesied, beginning back in 1 Kings chapter 19. And the fulfilling of the doom of the house of Achab will continue in chapter 10 and 11. Jehu will not be a righteous king, nor will his son or his grandson. Israel is on a great and tragic downhill slide from which it will not recover, and results eventually in the dispersion, which we are in now, and the placing of racial aliens in the land by Asher, that's Assyria. Israel adopts the worship of foreign gods, and this gets mixed up with the true worship of Yahweh later, resulting in the religion of Judaism, which today contains customs of Babylon and other alien nations that have been incorporated into it. Eventually, in 2 Kings, Yehuda will follow the 10 northern tribes into apostasy as well, and will join in dispersion, and the city of Jerusalem will be populated by racial aliens. While true Israel and true Yehuda eventually migrate through the Caucasus Mountains into Europe, which is exactly what happened. And they were dispersed all over the place. And here we are today. We're in Britain and Denmark and Sweden and Germany and France and white Spain and United States of America, Belgium, just all the white nations. That's Israel today. We're not in that land over in the Middle East. The Jews have stolen the name of Israel, and they call it the State of Israel, and that's false because they are false. Let's get into chapter 10 here. And this is the story of Achab and Akaziahu's families being killed. Chapter 10, verse 1. And had Achab 70 sons in Shomeron, and wrote Jehu letters and sent to Shomeron to the officials of Yisrael, that's a city, to the elders and to those that supported, 539, Achab's children, saying, verse 2, now as soon as this letter comes to you, since your master's sons are with you, and with you are chariots and horses, a fortified city and armor. Verse 3, look for the best of the sons of your master, set him upon his father's throne, and fight for your master's house. Verse 4, now this is going to be a little strange, and I'll explain it. But they were afraid with muchness, 3966 doubled, and said, behold, two kings stood not before him. How shall we stand? Because Jehu had killed the two kings. He was mean. Verse 5. And he that was over the house, and he that was over the city, and the elders and the supporters sent to Jehu, saying, we are your servants, and will do all that you say to us. We will not make king any man. Do what is good in your eyes. In other words, total subjection. They're just going to weenie out, and they're not going to oppose Jehu, because they're scared to death of him. Verse 6, then wrote he a letter to them the second time, saying, if you are mine, and you will listen to my voice, take away the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me to Yisrael by tomorrow at this time. The sons of the king, 70 men, were with the great men of the city, which brought them up. 14:31, verse 7. And it came to be when the letter came to them that they took away the sons of the king and slaughtered, 7:8:19, 70 men, and put their heads in baskets and sent them to Yisrael. Verse 8. And there came a messenger and told him, that's Jehu, saying, they have brought the heads of the sons of the king. And said he, lay them in two heaps, 6652, at the entrance to the gate until the morning. Verse 9. And it came to be in the morning that went he forth and stood and said to all the people, you are righteous. Behold, I conspired against my master and slew him, but who smote all these? Verse 10. Know now that there shall nothing fall to the ground, and that equates to fail, from the word of Yahweh, which spoke Yahweh over the house of Achab, for has done Yahweh what spoke he by the hand of his servant Eliyahu. Verse 11. So smote Yehu all that remained of the house of Achab in Yisrael, and all his great men, those that knew him as friends and as priests, until left he no survivor. 8300. Verse 12, and rose he up and departed and went to Shomeron. As he was in the way at Beth Eked Haroim. That's 1044, and that means house of binding of the shepherds. And that's where the sheep were tied up for shearing. Verse 13, met Yehu the brothers of Akaziahu, king of Yehuda, and said, who are you? And that said they, we are brothers of Akaziahu, and we go forth to give a salutation of peace to the children of the king and the children of the queen. Verse 14, and said he, capture them alive, and captured they them alive, and slaughtered them at the well, 953, of Beth Eked. 42 men, neither left he any man of them, killed them all. When departed he from there, found he Jehonadab, 3082, the son of Rechab, 7394, coming to meet him. And blessed he him, and said to him, is your heart upright, 3477, as my heart is with your heart? And said Jehonadab, it is. Said Yehu, if it is, give me your hand. And gave he his hand, and took him up to him into the chariot. That's a great honor. Verse 16, and said he, come with me and see my zeal, 7068, for Yahweh. So they made him to ride in his chariot, and when he came to Shomeron, smote he all that remained to Achab in Shomeron, till destroyed he him, according to the word of Yahweh that spoke he to Eliyahu. So he was not only killing family, he was killing friends and supporters. Anybody that was associated with these people, he was killing them. He didn't want any opposition left. Now here comes a good spot where he kills the worshipers of Baal. Verse 18, and gathered Yehu all the people together and said to them, now this is deception on his part, so be prepared for this. Served Achab Baal a little. Yehu shall serve him much. Verse 19. Now call to me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and all his priests. Let none be missing, 6485, because I have a great sacrifice to Baal. Whosoever shall be missing, he shall not live. But did deceitfully, 6122, Yehu, for the purpose, and that's 4616, that he might destroy that six that caused to perish the worshipers of Baal. Verse 20, and said, Yehu, convoke 6942 a sacred assembly, that 6116, for Baal. And they proclaimed it. Verse 21, and sent Yehu through all Israel, and all the worshipers of Baal came, so there was not a man left that came not. And came they into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was full from one end to another. Packed house. Verse 22, and said he to him that was over the wardrobe, 4458, bring forth the raiment, 3830, for all the worshipers of Baal. And brought forth he the raiment. They all dressed up in their little Baal suits, whatever they were. They all dressed in ceremonial garb. Verse 23, and went Yehu and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, that's Jonadab, actually, not Jehonadab, Jonadab, means Yah something, I can't remember. Jonadab, the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal, and said to the worshippers of Baal, search 2664 and look, so that there be here with you none from the servants of Yahweh, but the worshipers of Baal only. Verse 24, when came they to make sacrifice and burnt offerings, placed Yehu 80 men outside and said, if a man from the men I have brought into your hands escapes, 4422, your life shall be for his life. In other words, if you let any of these people go, I'll kill you. Verse 25, and it came to be, as soon as he had completed making the burnt offering, that said Yehu to the royal bodyguards, 7323, those that run by the king's chariot, and to the officers, go in and smite them, let no man come forth. And smote they them with the edge of the sword, and the royal bodyguard and the officers cast them out, 7993, and went to the city of the house of Baal. They cast out the dead bodies. Verse 26, and brought forth they the sacred pillars, 4676, of the house of Baal, and burned them. Verse 27, and they broke down, 5422, the pillar of Baal, and broke down the house of Baal, and made it a latrine, 4280, until this day. A public toilet. Wow. Verse 28, thus destroyed Yehu Baal from Israel. Verse 29, you can reference 1 Kings 12, verses 28 through 30. However, the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made to sin Israel, departed Yehu not from following them, the golden calves in Bethel and those in Dan. Verse 30, and said Yahweh to Yehu, because you have done well in executing uprightly in my eyes, and have done to the house of Achab all that was in my heart, your children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. You can reward him, but Verse 31, but guarded not Jehu to walk in the Torah of Yahweh, Elohe Israel, with all his heart. For departed he not from upon the sins of Jeroboam, which made to sin Israel. Okay, here comes the bad part. You'll understand when I read it. Verse 32, in those days began Yahweh to cut off Israel, and Hazael smote them in all the territory of Israel, from the Jordan, that's the Jordan River, toward the rising of the sun, all the way to the east, all the land of Gilead, the Gadi, those the children of Gad, 1425, and the Reubeni, children of Reuben, 7206, and the Menashe, those are children of Manasseh, 4520, from Aroer, which is by the Wadi Arnon, including Gilead and Bashan, all the territory that they had taken. They're kicked out of it. Verse 34, now the rest of the affairs of Jehu and all that he did and all his might, are not they written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Israel? Verse 35, and slept Jehu with his ancestors, in other words, he died, and buried they him in Shomeron, and reigned Jehoahaz, 3059, his son, in his place. Verse 36, and the time that reigned Jehu over Israel and Shomeron was 28 years. And the downhill slide is still going on for Israel. He did some righteous stuff and then kept on with the idol worship. He didn't change anything. So, not good. So here we are in chapter 11. I have time to do chapter 11 here. It's only 20 verses. And this is really clear, and it really doesn't need any comment. No chapter notes. Verse 1, and Ataliah, 6271, mother of Akaziahu, saw that her son was dead, and she rose up and destroyed, that's six, that's caused to perish, all the seed royal, all the king's children and her own grandchildren. She killed everybody except but Yahosheba, 3089, the daughter of King Joram, the sister of Akaziahu, took away Joash, 3101, the son of Akaziah, and stole, 1589, him from among the sons of the king being slain, pardon me, and hid him, he and his nurse, 3243, in the bedchamber from the presence of Ataliahu, so he was not slain. One survived. Verse 3, and he was with her hidden in the house of Yahweh 6 years, and reigned Ataliah over the land. The mother took the queenship, and she ruled. Verse 7, and the seventh year sent Jehoiada, 3077, and fetched the chiefs over hundreds with the Kari, 3746. This is perhaps the Karethi in 2 Samuel 20:23. the personal bodyguards, but it's spelled Kari, K-A-R-I-Y, here. And the runners, 7323, and brought them to him into the house of Yahweh, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath, 7650, of them in the house of Yahweh, and showed them the son of the king. He revealed that boy to them. Verse 5, and commanded he them, saying, this is the thing that you shall do. A third of you that enter on the Shabbat shall be keepers of the watch of the house of the king. Verse 6, and a third at the gate of Sur, S-U-R, and a third at the gate behind the runners. So shall keep you the watch of the house, that it be not Masak, 4535. It's unclear here from a root 5255, meaning to tear away. It's not clear, so I'm not going to put a meaning to it. I'm just giving you the Hebrew and the root word, 5255. Verse 7. And two parts of all of you that go forth on the Shabbat shall keep the watch of the house of Yahweh for the king, the little boy. Verse 8. And you shall close in about the king all around, every man with his weapons in his hands. And he that comes toward the ranks, 7713, let him be put to death. And be you with the king as he goes forth and comes in. In other words, he's putting all the bad boys that are real warriors over the guard of the little boy king. He's doing what's right. Verse 9. And the chiefs over the hundreds did all that commanded Jehoiada the priest. And took they every man his men that were to come in on the Shabbat with those that went forth on the Shabbat and came to Jehoiada the priest. Verse 10. And to the chiefs over hundreds did give the priest King David spears and shields that were in the house of Yahweh. That made them official king's guards. Verse 11. And the runners stood, every man with his weapons in his hands, close in about the king, from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, by the altar and the house. Verse 12, and brought he forth the son of the king, and put the crown, 5145, that is a symbol of consecration, upon him, and the diadem, 5715, it's also the testimony, but here it's a physical symbol of royalty. And made him ruler and anointed him, and they smote their hands, saying, long live the king. Verse 13, when heard Ataliah the noise of the runners and of the people, she came to the people into the house of Yahweh, and when she looked, behold, stood the king by a pillar, as the manner of chiefs was, and the chiefs and the trumpeters, 2689, by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And you can reference 2 Kings 23, verse 3, and 2 Chronicles 23, verse 13. And rent Ataliah her clothes and cried, conspiracy! Conspiracy! Verse 15, but commanded Jehoiada the chiefs of the hundreds and the officers of the army and said to them, take her out from the house of ranks. 7713, and that's unclear. Perhaps it means the formation of the ranks. And he that follows after her put to death with a sword. because the priest had said, let her not be put to death in the house of Yahweh. Verse 16, and they laid hands on her, and she went by the way which the horses entered the house of the king, and there she was put to death. They just killed her. Now these are Jehoiada's reforms. And made Jehoiada a covenant between Yahweh and the king and the people that they should be Yahweh's people between the king and the people also. Verse 18, and all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and broke it down, his altars and his images, 6754. They broke in pieces fully and slew, 2026, Matan, 4977, the priest of Baal before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of Yahweh. And you can reference 2 Chronicles 23:17 on that. Verse 19, and took he the chief of hundreds, and the Kari, and the runners, and all the people of the land, and they brought forth the king from the house of Yahweh, and came by the gate of the runners to the king's house, and sat he upon the throne of the kings. Verse 20, and rejoiced all the people of the land, and the city was quiet. 8252, and put they to death Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. So that ends Athaliah. And verse 21 in the King James Version and others is verse 12:1 in the Hebrew text, and I will follow that format here. So they eliminated the wicked queen. sort of like the vote here in the country eliminated shrillery. And she, conspiracy! And they just booted her. And then they slew her. And we haven't seen much of shrillery here lately. I wonder where she's hiding out. She's hiding out someplace. She's not in the best health. And she may only have a short time left. Quite honestly, and it wouldn't break my heart. She is a wicked woman, just wicked. All her actions and her cohort's actions are just plain wicked. So good riddance to her whenever she goes. And we'll see what we've got coming up on the inauguration on the 20th of this month. And we'll see whether there's any violence or, you know, it's a wait and see thing. Nothing is guaranteed. Believe me, nothing is guaranteed. And if old Trump gets in without a problem, they inaugurate him and he's the president, he may drop the hammer on some of these folks. And that wouldn't break my heart either. We need to get rid of these pedophiles and the pedophile ring and all those associated with it, because it's just nothing but wickedness. And it needs to go. Needs to go from among us. Cast evil out of Israel. And we've seen the justice of Yahweh and the killing of a lot of these evil kings. And all the prophecy coming true when Yahweh said, I'm going to wipe you out. They were wiped out. Let me get a hit of iced tea here. Oh, that's lovely. But what we need to concentrate on is not the smoke and mirrors of politics. It's preparation for the second coming of Yeshua, the Messiah. Our spiritual well-being needs to be in order. We need to police up our own lives personally. We have to do that on an individual basis, one-on-one, you and Yahweh. Talk to the Father. He loves you. Speak to Him as a child. That's what He wants. He wants obedient children. Love Him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your being. Because He blesses us, and all He wants is obedience. He's Yahweh, we're not. We keep trying to elevate ourselves in the pecking order of the universe, and we fail miserably. We think we're so powerful with our weapons and our so-called science and all the stuff that we're into and our monetary system, which is of Babylon. He is breaking it down. We are seeing the financial empire of the usurers crumble. The Zionist Jews are failing. Their time in the sun is coming to an end, and they are going into full panic mode. They're doing crazy stuff. Now they're trying to censor the internet. They're hammering on some of the truther sites. They're desperate. Then they're going to get more and more desperate as time goes along. And when they get desperate, they get more and more violent. And who do they take their violence out on? They take it out on true Israel. They've wanted to and have tried to and have been in process of eliminating us for a long, long time. This is not new. It's just increased in volume lately. All these wars we fought were to kill white people. White people against white people. Fighting Germany in World War II. Provoking the Japanese into World War II. They didn't want to fight. But they did the dishonorable thing and they attacked Pearl Harbor. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt knew of this attack prior to it occurring and allowed it so we would have a reason to enter the war. He let those men in Pearl Harbor be killed. He knew it. He knew it was coming. He was warned of it. And he let it go. That's evil. He was a Jew. And his game plan was that of the general Jewish high order, and that is to kill white people. And his vice president, Solomon Schifrin, also known as Harry Truman, when he changed his name, he was a Jew. We've had all these people, if they're not in the office, they are advisors to the office of all the high ranks here in the Jew United States. They've done the same thing in Great Britain. They've done the same thing in South Africa. They're doing the same thing in Germany. All the Nordic countries, they're behind the scenes on all this immigration to bring about the death and destruction of the people of Israel and the nations that they have created. This is an ongoing practice. And we know it. We've exposed it. EFR's telling about it all the time. Truth Frequency Radio. It's on YouTube. Daily Stormer. I mean, on and on and on and on. It's out there. But the government isn't going to do anything about it. And the people can't do anything about it because they're not well enough armed. And if they try, they will be slaughtered. Only when Yeshua Messiah returns is it going to be set right. We as a people cannot. It is out of our control at this point. This does not set well with people. It doesn't set well with me. I'm chomping at the bit and I'd like to go and do things. But I've learned a harsh lesson. And I don't want people to be in a federal gulag when it hits the fan. You cannot be effective in there. You need to hold your peace and bide your time and let Yahweh's timetable play out. He's got this. He's got it covered. Believe me. If you read, I'm going to quote it again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Almost every show, if not every show, I quote this. Read that passage. It tells you what Yeshua is going to do when he comes back. And it is unpleasant. There's going to be a bloodbath. Because he will be with his divine messengers and they will take care of business. Where we, as mere men, cannot. And we will be transformed at that point, and we will no longer be mere Adamites. We will have the new bodies, and they will be eternal bodies, and we will fight in his army. Don't worry, brothers and sisters, you're going to have a chance to be on the front line. Believe me, we are his battle axe and weapons of war, and he has always fought wars through us. Be patient and wait on Yahweh. He's not bound by time like we are. He does not have the limitations that we have. He's going to put divine intervention into play. And we need to be respectful of that and give him his lead. He will lead us through Yeshua Messiah, our King. All the world governments will fall when Yeshua comes back. Every single one of them. There will be no secular man-made governments. Gone. There will be a world kingship by Yeshua. And all of that will end. All of that is going to be destroyed. The time of grace is going to be over. Those that have made a decision for Yahweh will live. Those that have made the wrong decision will not. Yahweh has been long-suffering. A lot of people that are of Israel will not be counted as Israel. They will have made the wrong choice. And they will be numbered among the goats that will be cast in the lake of fire. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want this for them. I'm not happy that it's going to occur. I'm on the radio every day, Monday through Friday, and then on Thursday nights and Sunday, trying to exhort these people to get off the fence and make the right decision. I want them with us in the kingdom. I don't want to see my brothers and sisters destroyed. They're my people. Even though their minds are clouded right now. People are living in the world, and they're going to have to make a decision against the world and come over to the side of Yahweh. People in the Judeo-Christian churches are leaving. People don't believe in that. There is a falling away of belief. People are caught up in the world, and they're pursuing after stuff. You're not going to take stuff with you into the kingdom. Only your soul. Back down to the end of the hour here, I will say Shalom Aleichem. That's peace be unto you, and I will catch you tomorrow on Wednesday with 2 Kings 12, 13, and 14. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and give all praise to our Father. Talk to you tomorrow.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going.